100 Word Stories.
Hi, everybody. It's time for the weekly challenge on the 100 Word Stories podcast. One a day until the day I die.com. Now on a different server, so you shouldn't be getting 508 errors or all that other crap. Hopefully, it's a little more stable for you stalwarts who are still sticking around. The topic is stick, by the way. Way to work it in. We got stories from Jeffrey, Richard, Charlie, Lizzie, Tom, Serendipity, Zachman, Muncie, Normal Joe, Kim, Tura, and Planet Z. What more could you ask for, really? So, the sister-in-law is here, the kitten is here, the usual. When do I get a weekend that I can actually, you know, just not have to, whatever. So hopefully I can just listen to this about 26 times and get back to the daily grind. I didn't get to do any recording for some stuff I wanted to get done for work either. Joy. So, hopefully this week will be more respite, more calm. Tinny will be happier. She won't have a kitten chasing her around. And sadly, Miss did not kill the thing. So, Right, let's get on with this. Jeffrey, help take my foot out of my mouth and tell some stories.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, and I'm here for week 495 on the topic of stick. I'm back from vacation, which means that stories I've written and recorded before I left are all out of the queue, and I have to get off my lazy butt and write some more. But to show you how this podcast has gotten under my skin, I'll tell you a brief story that's not on the topic of stick. See, I was on a cruise ship, and all the elevators used the same synthetic voice that Serendipity uses. Arriving, deck 4. Arriving, deck 10. I kept waiting for the voice to continue. Something like, "But I have cut the elevator cable, and you will now plunge to your death. Have a nice fall." Well, obviously that didn't happen because I'm here. But anyway, on to the topic of stick. I've got two stories. The first is called The Jump. I peered out the open door, watching farmland speed by. The instructor had gone through the safety check one last time. I made sure the parachute straps were snug against my chest and stepped into the air. As I fell, I counted off the seconds before pulling the cord. The chute flew out. I slowed. Then the ground came at me quickly, and all my training flew out of my head. I landed awkwardly on one leg, bounced up, and dragged across the ground until I stopped, rolled into a ball mixed of human and nylon parachute. I hardly stuck the landing, but I made it down alive, which must count for something. And my second story is called Job Satisfaction. The best part of being a cop, Frank thought, was surprising the perp and slapping the cuffs on him. Right now, the guy had no idea his evening would end poorly, but that would change when Frank kicked in the apartment door. When Frank had the perp's arms behind his back, the guy unleashed a torrent of curses. Frank's parentage was questioned, his wife's fidelity was challenged, and the perp was just getting started. "Stick these cuffs up your ass until they come out your nose," the guy rasped. Frank laughed and tightened the cuffs some more. "I think that's anatomically impossible, sir, but I appreciate your imagination." And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Hi, Richard here, and this is my third attempt at recording the introduction to my weekly challenge, so I don't stand a chance with the stories. The first one is called The Man. There comes a time in everyone's life when realization dawns that it doesn't have to be this way. We make a promise. No more will we be victims of oppression. My moment came last Thursday, waiting for the bus home. This particular oppressor was a spotty youth, rudely pushing ahead of the queue. Something inside me snapped. Time to stick it to the man. Unfortunately, it seems the man has a bigger stick than me, and a pretty good left hook, too. One broken nose later, I decided my moment had passed. What's wrong with oppression and drudgery, anyway? And just because I can, I've got another story for you. It's called Rustling. Left alone, guarding the camp, Laggins cowered beside the fire, muttering decidedly unhobbit-like grumblings about his fellow travellers. A rustling in the bushes sent his heart racing. He scrabbled in the darkness for a weapon. In addition to several slugs lurking in the undergrowth, his hands finally found a large and heavy stick, which he raised bravely above his head, ready to face the unseen enemy. A small rabbit then popped out from the bushes, looking at him quizzically. Laggins laughed and congratulated himself on his bravery before turning round straight into the arms of the waiting.
Hello, all. Charlie here with a couple of stories. We threw another stick on the campfire and stuffed big gobs of hash into the pipe. It was our first year at summer camp in the Dardanelles, and we all wished that this was the year we were going to be awarded our colored kerchief for conduct and sportsmanship. Fuck that. I wanted a bag of candy from the Gdynk and some cooch. The little trail leading to the rocky enclave where the campfire burned was the highlight of my day. It was pitch black in the forest, and provided lots of opportunities to play grab ass with the girls. Second, not everything I learned stuck. I didn't know the secret of making dates and names stick in my art history class. I relied on how small and how legible I could print on my palm and forearm. I shaved my forearm so it wouldn't interfere with writing. I put a couple of dozen artists' names and movements on my arm. This got me through the midterm and final exams with good grades. I feel guilty cheating in Mr. Bates' class, because he was such a sweet, patient man. If he can hear me, I would like to say, I'm sorry.
Hello everyone, Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. And he wouldn't shut up, said the prisoner in cuffs. The detective nodded. A piece of gum was sticking to his left shoe. He went on and on about it. The detective tried to scrape the gum off with his right shoe. Oh, shit! Now the gum was on both shoes. That's when I hit him. I couldn't take it anymore. The detective stood up. Well, that was simple enough. I have to go now. I have gum on my shoes. Stick around. Yeah, come on. It's not like I have a choice, right? Right, replied the detective. And just shut up about it. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcop.blogspot.com. And I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello, Night People. Tom here. And I've got a correction. Richard is actually the 9th Iron Monkey. Guy is the 10th. Movement, Spate inches ahead of Ellison. Welcome back, Spate. Story average continues to drop to 16.21. It took a whole year to return to those numbers. Charlie is just 3 stories shy of entering the top 40. And a 13th monkey, Serendipity, is just 4 stories away from becoming the 12th monkey. I hope Lizzie breaks into the top 100. It's going to take a year to do. And my story this evening is called The purpose of language is to present irony. I spent my formative years, 13 to 19, working at an all-Jewish country club. It was formed in the days when the Chicago gentry was less than PC. Lots of members spoke Yiddish as their first language. I had just taken up close contact magic. When you're on the back nine, or foursomes deep on the 13th hole, a bit of distraction is in order. Hey kid, your pattern is excellent. You need an excellent shtick, said Mr. Garfinkel. He suggested doing my act balanced on my head. Damn, if that wasn't the best advice I ever got. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. You don't want to believe everything you see in the movies about vampires. Most of it is complete nonsense. Especially all that stuff about killing us with stakes. That would be far too simple. And anyway, how exactly do you define steak? Would any old stick do the job? And what about splinters? A very real concern when you spend most of your time hanging around rotting wooden coffins. Not that it matters. It's simply not true about steaks. And as for drinking your blood, yes, that's quite definitely true. And tonight, I'm having yours for supper.
This is Zack, man. My mother wants to see you, Sarah told her husband. I am not sure I want to see her. She hit me with a cane, replied Joe. It was a walking stick, and serves you right for asking her about how it felt to be on the Mayflower, when you know my family came over on the Jamestown. Even so, she has a gift for you, said Sarah. Why would she, when being the grumpy old lady is your mother's shtick? My father can't drive safely anymore, so she is giving you his car, since I refuse to drive a manual transmission.
Greetings, Halloweenies, from Munzee, here once more with more story than you can shake a stick at. Assuming that 100 words worth of story is more than you can shake a stick at, which, now that I think about it, I shouldn't assume. A Public Service Announcement by Christopher Monroe. Teddy Roosevelt once famously said, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." Good advice for its day, perhaps, but I think we all agree it needs to be updated. Walk on two big sticks. In this modern age, height's never been a more important factor in determining success. With this in mind, can you deny yourself the opportunity to be your best, tallest self? Jump on a pair of stilts today, as Roosevelt would have, had he the technology to do so. This message has been brought to you by the Canadian Stilt Walkers Federation. For more information, consult our website. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzeeMunzee. Which brings us to a close, Halloweenies. But worry not, I shall be back next week to bring this month to a terrifying close.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of the YA Books Podcast, and this is my entry for weekly challenge number 495 with a prompt of stick. If you haven't had a chance to check us out, if you're interested in YA novels, young adult novels, check it out. We're on iTunes and we're on our I'm on my sixth episode, so come on by. Here's my story.
Here you go, good buddy, Durgle said to Long John. Fetch!
Durgle hurled the stick with every ounce of his 235 pounds behind it. It sailed across the open grassy area of the park in a long arc and bounced to a stop. The wiener dog looked up at his master and panted.
Go get it,
Durgle said, trying to sound enthusiastic. Long John looked over his shoulder at Bambi, sitting on a park bench, reading a magazine.
I get it, Durgle said, walking toward Bambi. I don't believe in myself. Why should anyone, even my dog, believe in me?
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Kim with this week's recording for the topic of stick. From the third floor window, I saw a tutu'd girl turn three cartwheels on the walkway. Then a rat ran across and stopped 2 feet away from the tree side. I thought the oblivious kid with the headphones and sagging skinny jeans would surely step right on it, but alas. Many walked by, all noticing it, even if only at the last moment, giving it a wide berth. Some stopped a moment to investigate. Some got as close as 6 inches. But the rat did not move. I imagined someone poking it. Then the pedestrians were gone, and the rat ran away. Hi, this is Kim with this week's recording for the topic of stick. From the third floor window, I saw a tutu'd girl turn 3 cartwheels on the walkway. Then a rat ran across and stopped 2 feet away from the tree side. I thought the oblivious kid with the headphones and sagging skinny jeans would surely step right on it, but alas. Many walked by, all noticing it, even if only at the last moment, giving it a wide berth. Some stopped a moment to investigate. Some got as close as 6 inches. But the rat did not move. I imagined someone poking it. Then the pedestrians were gone, and the rat ran away.
Tura Razoinu here, with a story on the subject, stick. I awoke on the bank of a river as a boat drew up. "Hi, I'm Sharon," said the figure in the stern. "I'm your ferry person for this journey, and this is the Styx." "Yes, it is pretty deserted," I said. A cat leapt out of the boat. "If you go, you can't come back," it warned. "You just did," I observed. "Oh, I can do that," it replied, "up to a point." A light swelled behind me, and Sharon and the cat with 9 lives receded into the distance. The light grew brighter still and resolved into a hospital ward.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
One of the funniest comedy routines I ever saw was Jonathan Winters on the Jack Parr Show. Jack handed Jonathan a stick, and the comedian went through dozens of different scenes and characters in under 4 minutes. I'm sure that Jonathan had prepared and imagined all these characters up beforehand, but even just to remember them and roll them out one after the other was impressive. Call it genius or madness, it sure was fucking funny. Robin Williams had that magic too. But they're both gone now, and we're left holding the short end of the stick.
Great this week. Way to go. Next topic is going to be, I remember when. It's going to be great. Hey, Wade takes Apple Pay now. How did I learn? I didn't want to eat their damn spaghetti, so I went and got, I thought I was going to get a burger. And it's like, nope, getting PayWay. And bing, and my Discover card doesn't like Apple Pay for some reason, but the other card does, so yay, bing, bing. This is supposed to be the fucking future. No, I do not want a smartwatch right now. I mean, I don't wear a watch. What's the point? It would be just like, $300 worth of for about 5 minutes, and it's boring. And I get pissed off at the cats for abandoning their toys. So thank you all for listening to this. Next week, more stories. You know the topic. It's posted. Blah. If you want to leave a comment, the site is now working even better. It's on a new server. There are likes. There are shares. There are this. There are that. More toys that you'll never freaking use, like a $300 smartwatch. So take care, everyone, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, as always, keep it brief.